I hope you've enjoyed this six-week series we've called Opportunities. It's a message series the Lord put on our heart, and what I have seen God want to do with this as he's been developing it time to time. I meet with him every week to ask him what he wants to share, and I feel like more than anything, this has been a wisdom series, a series teaching us how when there's no opportunity whatsoever, an impossible obstacle, or maybe when it's challenging and it seems like everything's against me, or maybe when I've been doing things on my own and it's time to insert faith into a faith opportunity where I'm going to step outside of the boat and I'm going to do something completely different. Maybe it's a scary, risky, dangerous opportunity or a temptation situation. In all of these things, I feel like God wants to use his word to give us wisdom on how to proceed in a way that both honors him and, most importantly, not only helps you win, but is a big win for the whole kingdom of God. I feel like it just got dark in here. Is it just me? It's just me. Okay, I just keep moving right ahead. All right, that's my little side ADD kicking in right here. But today I want to share with you what I call a golden opportunity. Now, let me define a golden opportunity. I say it's simply this: a moment of favor. Have you ever had a golden opportunity before? Come on, just slip your hand in the air, whether it was just, you know, the unexpected job opportunity, the pregnancy test says yes, come on, whether it's your kids got that college scholarship, can I get an amen, a golden opportunity? What about this? The evangelism opportunity that you've been praying for. You've been praying for a son, a daughter, sister, brother, loved one, friend, coworker to turn their eyes towards Jesus. And now all of a sudden they're showing up to work and they're like, hey, can we talk? I need prayer. And you're like, yes, yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can do that. In fact, you want to do it right now? I'm sorry, too excited. We'll talk afterward. Talk afterward. A little bit. Come on. Prayers that you've been praying, and they seem to be finally hitting fruition. The opportunity to finally receive long-awaited forgiveness with someone, or to finally buy that business. See, there are golden opportunities that God's going to bring our ways. We've seen a few of them. You're going to see more of them. And the question is, are there ways in a golden opportunity? Is it just smooth sailing, or are there ways to screw it up? There are. Scripture records time and time again a number of opportunities that are from God, and it's possible to turn your opportunity into a nightmare if you don't have a few things that you're paying attention to, keeping in mind. Many of us have heard the fable of the golden goose. The fable of the golden goose is that a humble land worker, a farmer, he discovers this goose, and this goose one day lays a golden egg, and he thinks, there's no way. Somebody's pulling a prank on me. He must have spray painted it gold. Hey, there's no way. So he picks it up, and it's heavy, and he's like, oh my goodness, this feels like it looks like solid gold. So he takes it to a metal worker, and he says, there's no way, is it? Test it. And they said, this is a solid golden egg that your goose just laid. And it's like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I needed this turn of fate. I needed this provision. And the very next day, it's like, there's no way. There's no way, right? It's just going to be regular egg. And he goes out, it's another golden egg. He's like, oh my goodness, there's two golden eggs worth immense wealth. My whole situation's changing, it's turning. Until one day the once humble, lowly farmer who discovered a few golden eggs gets so eager and cannot wait for the golden eggs that are inside the goose any longer, that he decides, I'm cutting this goose in half. I'm getting to the middle of it. I'm getting all of the eggs that it's got stored up on the inside right now. I cannot wait any longer. And he cuts the goose in half, opens him up to look for all the golden eggs, and finds there's none inside. For his eagerness to run after the prize and to get ahead quick and to take shortcuts has all of a sudden killed the very thing that was about to be, that was being a golden opportunity in his life. And we start to get it wrong when we let the things of God overshadow our thanks for God. Oh, come on. We start to get it wrong when we let the things of God, the golden eggs, overshadow our thanks for God. You're the golden goose. You're the one who's providing provisions in my life. And sometimes we can get wrong as we get so excited about the creation and the things that have been given to us that we start to worship the job and we worship the child and we worship the opportunity and we worship the boat and we worship the vacation and we worship the and we make the things of God more important than our thanks for God. Don't allow the golden egg to become more important than the golden goose who's got a lot more eggs to share. Come on, our God is the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's not done yet. Tell your neighbor right now, he's not done yet. He's not done yet. Without the heart of God, we'll turn our golden opportunities into golden goose tragedies. And I want to show you just one example of that and share 4 quick points that I've taken away from this situation. I've shared a hero in every one of these opportunities to give us someone to look to. But in this case, I felt more inclined to share with you actually a villain in the Bible. This would be someone who you should learn by doing the opposite from. And ironically enough, he is the son of last week's hero, Solomon. Today, we're talking about his son named Rehoboam. In 1 Kings chapter 12, the Bible talks about an incredible golden opportunity for Rehoboam. It says this as 1 Kings chapter 11 concludes with, after 40 years of being king, the wisest person we ever know, King Solomon, has died. Chapter 12, verse 1 says this: "Now Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone there to make him king." Sound like a golden opportunity? Sound like an opportunity served up on a platter. Like, here it is. We want to give you the kingdom. We want to give you honor. We want to give you majesty. We want to give you prestige. We want to give you position. We want to give you power. We want to give you leadership. It's a golden opportunity. Just step into it, right? No, remember this. Without the heart of God, we can turn our golden opportunities into golden goose tragedies. And that's exactly what Rehoboam did. He did this. It says in verse 3, halfway through, it says, "The whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, 'Your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the harsh labor and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you.'" Now skip forward to verse 6. I encourage you to read the whole thing, but I'm giving you, just shooting to the points. Verse 6, "Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders." He consulted those older and wiser than him. And he said, these people had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. Verse 7, they replied, "If today you will be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, then they will always be your servants." But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders. Someone say rejected. Rejected the advice of the elders, and then consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. They replied this: "Tell them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. My father laid on you a heavy yoke. I will make it even heavier. I will scourge you. I will make it even heavier. My father scourged you with whips. I will scourge you with scorpions.'" 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to Rehoboam, and they said, "Give us your answer. What will you do?" And it says in verse 13, "The king answered the people harshly, 'My father scourged you with whips. I'll scourge you with scorpions.' And when all Israel heard and saw that the king refused to listen to them, they answered the king, 'What share do we have with David? What part in Jesse's son?'" Not only did he lose the opportunity to be a king, not only did he squander a golden opportunity, but it's not just about you. The golden opportunities God wants to give you and I are not just about you and me. It's about so much more than that. For the first time in history, God's kingdom split from one unified people of God into two. Half followed Rehoboam. Not even half. 1/12 followed Rehoboam. 11/12 followed Jeroboam and said, we don't want any part in that anymore. And God's kingdom split. It was the beginning of the end for God's people in downfall. And see, I think we can all make mistakes when we come across golden goose opportunities. And there's four things that I see in here, four mistakes that make that noose the golden goose. Four mistakes that noose the golden goose. When you have a golden opportunity, there's four mistakes that I believe you can make to begin to choke out the opportunity God wants to do, not just in your life. Again, it's not just about you. It's about people all around us. There are people not even born yet, people who have not even heard your voice, who are hoping and praying that you will step into the opportunity of God and do what God's called you to do. But four mistakes that noose the golden goose. Number one is this. Keep in mind the opportunity is divine. Keep in mind the opportunity is divine. We make so many mistakes when we start thinking, I earned this opportunity. It was my good wit. It was my charm. It was who I am. It was my stature. It's my wardrobe. It's my humor. It's my degrees. It's my hard work. It's my labor. It's my sweat into this. Listen, he may have learned from Solomon. He may have put his time in working under Solomon. But one thing he may never take credit for is that he was born of Solomon. That was a God thing right there. He had no play in or part in that. You don't get to choose who's your mother or your father. It was divine. It was God-given. And it was the only requirement to step into being the kingdom, the king of the kingdom. They weren't impressed by his work degrees or his job histories or if he could curl 200 pounds or bench press 150 or not. They weren't interested in all that. Are you Solomon's son? Because the way our royalty works is your son ascends. Rehoboam got this wrong. He started thinking, ha, I can call the shots because it's mine for the taking. And it wasn't even something he set up. Keep in mind, the opportunity is divine. That pay raise is divine. There's an opportunity. God wants to connect it with the kingdom. Come on, that future spouse. By the way, we should stop and congratulate our newest engaged people in the house. Come on, Mary and Jordy, where you at? Stand up. I wish we would have done that while we were still up here. There they are in the back sitting next to each other. How cute. Come on. That's so good. Listen, Mary and Jory, keep in mind that opportunity is divine. That is for so much more than just your personal company. And thank God for my wife, but it's divine. Y'all can sit down. Thank y'all so much. It's an opportunity for us to build kingdom together. When I get tired, she's got my back. When she gets tired, she's got my back. When I need prayer, she's got me. When she needs prayer, I got her. It's divine. It's for more than just, hey, let's hang out. Let's do life. Come on. Let's go pray intensely tonight in the bedroom. Keep in mind, the opportunity is divine. It's far more than what we think it's about. How many opportunities are God-given but taken by man? Who gets the credit for your wins? Who gets the credit? And I want to give you a little secret. Scripture says this in Isaiah 42, verse 8. My name is the Lord. I won't let idols or humans share my glory or praise. So my question to you is at home. If you want more glory and praise, if you want more golden opportunities, here is the question. Are you going to try to take any glory or praise? Are you going to try to share any glory or praise? Or are you just going to say, God, every time you give me an opportunity, I'm going to give it right back to you. It's yours anyway. Come on. That's why I love when we have baby dedications. A mother and a father is saying, yeah, we might have birthed this child, but it was given to us by you, and we dedicate this child back to you. This is your child for your kingdom's purposes in Jesus' name. Come on. Are you going to share in the glory and praise, or are you going to give the glory and praise back to its rightful owner? That's God. I have a suspicion that the better you are at giving away glory and praise back to God, the more he piles it onto you. He says, I can trust you. I can trust you not to steal it for yourself. I can trust you not to pocket it. I can trust it to increase you. I can trust it to give you greater dreams. I can trust you with bigger things, bigger teams, bigger things, because you're not trying to share the glory and praise. You give all the glory and praise to him. Amen. Come on, that sounded like a worship song and needed an amen, not an amen on it. If you agree with me, give him a good, hearty amen. Amen. Number two, character is king. Character is king. Character can confine my future. Your character can hold you back from achieving the things that God has in store for you. If Rehoboam was to be king, his character was depleted. He showed none of it. His character showed arrogance, selfishness, self-centeredness, concern only for himself. How are you supposed to be a king of people and lead them into a glory day and be good to them and be an example or an impression of God himself and the great love that he has for others? How are you going to do that when you're so focused on yourself? His character was depleted. His character was nothing. Your character can define, it can confine your future. I love what Erwin McManus says. The relationship between character and influence is like breathing. The deeper you inhale, the stronger you exhale. Take your character deep and your influence will be profound. I love that. Do you know that it's recorded that George Washington in the early days was such an amazing leader? Happy 4th of July to you. Our independence begins with even the foundations of George Washington and the earliest settlers. And one of the things that they wanted to do was set up a new government that was free of religious restrictions, and they had to fight for it. And they made him their general. Americans made him, you be our general, you be our president. And he didn't want the presidency, but they had to re-up his term so that he could stay as the president for 2 years. They wanted to give it to him a third time and a fourth time because he kept winning victories. And they said, we need you to be our monarch. And he said, no. I refuse to take full control and power, for I am just as weak as any other person. We must let the Lord be our guide. He must be our leader. Now check this out. George Washington relinquished control, and King George III said of George Washington, he had the greatest character of our age. Why? Because in the face of a golden opportunity, he said, not I, but him. Gideon was another one who, after winning a huge war in the Bible, all the people came to him and said, you be our king. Right now you're just our judge. You be our king and your son be our king. And he said, no, the Lord will be our king. It takes character. It takes strength to say that. Jesus, the one who relinquished the throne, the kingdom of heaven and the throne, to come down and suffer, to feel pain, despair, to be betrayed, spat on. He relinquished so much so that you and I can understand the great love of the Father. George Washington, Gideon, Jesus, all three we're still talking about today. Why? Because their character didn't confine their future. Jesus belongs in a category all of his own, and that's why I love to follow him. I got to finish up as we finish this message series, but this is what I love Paul said, and here should be the goal of the golden opportunity, 2 Corinthians 7:2. We have wronged no one. we have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. Can you say that about the people of influence in your life? I have wronged no one. I have corrupted no one. I have taken advantage of no one. Character is king. Character has stopped many people from stepping into their destiny. Number three is this. Rehoboam sought counsel from a board before the Lord. Rehoboam sought counsel of a board before the Lord. I love wise counsel. I love good instruction. I love mentors in my life. But none of them can replace the wisdom and the direction and the anointing of the Lord. I encourage every one of you, find some wiser people than yourself and get them in your life. Surround yourself with amazing people, but do not replace the Lord with a board where it becomes easy and convenient to say, God, ooh, I don't know if you'll answer me, so let me just call so-and-so, and let me just call so, let me call mom, let me call dad, let me call him, let me call her, let me call them. They know Jesus. Let me call the pastor. Don't let me become some sort of board that replaces the Lord. You need to meet with the Lord first and foremost. Learn to hear his voice. He said, my sheep know my voice. They tune into my ear. I could do the best to be a stand-in shepherd. I will try my best, but I am not the Lord. And how many of y'all thank God that I am not? I thank God all day long that I am not. Because I still have my issues. I still have my stuff. But I know this, that anyone who turns his eyes upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Oh man, when I look at Rehoboam, his grandfather, David, went down in scriptural history as a man after God's own heart. He must have taught his son, Solomon, that when he was in a temptation situation and God says, you may have one request, he said, God, I want your wisdom. But it seems like that's the end of his relationship with God, that he quickly fell away. Did he even teach his child, Rehoboam, to seek the Lord before a board? He grew up hearing how important wisdom was. But let me ask you a question. Do your kids know how important the Lord is to you? Do they see you chase the Lord more than chasing a board? Hey, pay me more. Hey, give me another opportunity. Hey, make me the leader. Put the title on me. Hey, what? Or do they see you fall on your knees and say, this is how I fight my battles. This will work. This is more important than a meeting, a one-on-one, a conversation, the one-on-one with him. It's the most important meeting I need to have right now. I'm so proud of my oldest girl. She's 11. Earlier this week, the food bank said, Lift Church, can you help us serve and feed people? And it was last-minute notice, so we didn't get a ton of response. And I said, it doesn't matter. Even if it's just my daughter and I, we'll go. And there were other people who showed up to come and help. And it was so awesome to serve side by side. But as I'm driving with my daughter, she didn't want to go. It was kind of, I've never done this before. What are we gonna experience? Am I gonna know what I'm doing? I don't know. And I just said this, do you understand why we are doing this? And I'm proud of her. She said, I think so, but not really. You could tell me more. And I said this, Jesus said in Matthew 25, when I was hungry, you fed me. So every time we go move food into a box to send out to people who are hungry, we're sending a box to Jesus. And it's fulfilling to spend our time serving the Lord. She said, she got excited about that, still a little nervous, went in there. For the next 3-4 hours, we were in there rocking and rolling with other lifters. It was just an awesome time serving the Lord, more important than anything else. Do your kids get to see you serve the Lord? Do your kids get to see you pray to the Lord? Do your kids get to see you worship the Lord? Because I have a suspicion Rehoboam didn't get to see it in Solomon. And so it didn't pass on from generation to generation. So all Rehoboam knew was, who's going to tell me what I want to hear? There's other kings I'm going to finish with this. King Ahab wanted to take down his enemies. And so he went to King Jehoshaphat of Judah, and he said this, "Will you go to war with me and help me take out the enemies?" After all, they're enemies of God, even though King Ahab himself was an enemy of God, wasn't living right. And King Jehoshaphat, I love this, said, "You got somebody who could hear from God on what we should do. I'm with you. My army's behind you. But is there anyone here who can hear from God? I want to hear from a Lord, not this board right here." So he brought in front of him every prophet that he had, but they weren't prophets of God. They were prophets of false gods. And after a while, Jehoshaphat said, "Is this it? Is this who you're surrounding yourself with? Like, you got my army, you got my weapons, but I need to hear from the Lord first." King Ahab said, "Yeah, there's one guy, Prophet Micah. I hate him because he never says what I want him to say. Because he always says what God wants him to say, and it never lines up with what I want him to say. And so I hate this guy." He literally says it. You can check it out in the Bible. Jehoshaphat says, "I want to hear from him first." Micah, the prophet, gets brought before him and declares, "You're not going to win this war. You're going to go anyway because you're arrogant and you follow only yourself and the people you want to hear. But you're not going to win this war. You're going to die in the battlefield." So the two kings went anyway, but King Ahab said this, "Because of like what that crazy prophet said, because of what the Lord said, I'm going to disguise myself. Instead of being dressed as the king, I'm going to just become a nobody so that they don't target me on the other side." He goes out there riding around as a common nobody. Scripture says this. It literally says a fool from the other army just goes, takes his archery bow. He's probably out there going, "I've never hit the bullseye in my life. I don't know why they put me out here, but they gave me a bow. They gave me arrows. So let me just try this and just do." And the Bible says, in one little chink of King Ahab, who's dressed like a commoner's army, an arrow slipped in, piercing him and killing him. See, when you search for the board or for people before the Lord, you open yourself up to your golden opportunity becoming a golden egg tragedy. He lost the kingdom. We got to finish finally with this. Heed counsel. He heeded counsel from immature peers rather than courtiers. Young people, you need old people in your life. Old people, you need young people in your life. They're the next generation. They need you. We can't afford for you not to lead a small group. There's so much you could teach us. There's so much we can learn from you. And if you don't lead us and guide us, then we are Rehoboam's going, "My pinky is thicker than your waist," or whatever. Old people, you need to be wise enough to know you need more than peers. You need courtiers. You need wise, experienced, seasoned vets who go, "You've been following the Lord for 45 years. You've had to go through highs and lows. How do you do it? Teach me how to pray. Teach me how to read my word. Teach me how to select friends. Teach me, teach me, teach me." In Jesus' name, I feel like there's some golden opportunities in the horizon. I ask right now that you would do your work. Let your